hard SAT question.
Yes, sir.
Violator Hellspawn, are you here?
No, I left earlier, remember?
Define sentimentality in your best poetic way.
I gotta go. See you guys later. Sentimentality?
You can have footnotes.
It's kind of like totalitarianism, but it's...
Yeah. I don't follow any italities.
I don't follow any isms except alcoholism.
Yeah. I mean, you have to have like a...
SAT question.
Yeah, I don't know. You have to have some sort of...
Have you seen the movie Juno?
Yeah.
It makes it cute to be like a fucking pregnant...
teenager?
Throwaway, you know what I mean?
Portlandia, season 3. It's not an SAT question, because if it was an SAT question, there would be 4 options, and you could fill in a bubble.
Yeah.
Well, no, this is a Sinkhead SAT. We up it all. We make it more organic. We take it back a level.
Okay.
I had this whole thing about I was going to contact Ellen so that at the end of every synchronized, we would have an always record SAT question, right? So it would be this, like, open-ended, subjective thing, and then we get responses, and then whoever fucking got the best response, we would say we would publish you in a book. And so when we get the 100 best responses to the 100 questions, we publish the Always Record SAT book, and then it gives you the answers. You know, so you publish the questions, and you publish the best answers, because no one hears the voicemails that we get. You know what I mean? They're all hidden. They don't know what we're picking.
Right.
You follow me? We can still do this.
Okay. Let's
do you know?
Do
can actually, I'd like to. That's a good reminder. Is to make an announcement. Because I don't think we ever made a formal announcement. Do you know? Guillaume built a system for us that you can leave a voicemail on the SyncBook website. You can even. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen this?
No, tell me about it. I'm interested.
I got a phone. What do I call?
No, you just go to the SyncBook. I think it's syncbook.com/record. Not always record, but just
record.
Yeah. If you do it on your computer, it's going to ask.
What?
Yeah.
Siri,
you do it on your
go
phone.
To SyncBook record.
The SyncBook.
I show up at always record.
SyncBook.com/record. No always. Just the syncbook.com/record.
Record.
I put the link in the Skype chat.
Yeah. A little smiley face, too.
The smile wasn't for you. The smile was for Hellspawn.
Hey, I still got that garlic nugget in my freezer, dude. Remember you brought that garlic nugget?
I do, yeah.
What was with that? What was that? That was, like, so hippie. If you look back on it, it's kind of...
Hippies aren't supposed to eat garlic, dude, because it's totally rajasic.
You garlic, you're like, yo, dude.
If it was turmeric, that would be hippie. Or if it was, excuse me, ginger, maybe.
So are you seriously... So basically what happened was Melissa and I were leaving on this road trip for weeks and weeks and weeks. So we basically were cleaning out our fridge, right? It's like there's nothing, this shit's all going to be spoiled by the time we come back. So we wanted to empty out any perishables. And then, but we had like, just like the day before or 2 days before we left, for whatever reason, bought like a fuckload of this organic garlic, whatever I was cooking, but I couldn't, like wherever I went, because there's really no good shopping options around here. So like, do you know what BJ's is? Like those giant mega stores?
Yeah.
Okay. Where I live, the only place for me to get organic produce, BJ's sells like garlic and apples. That's it. Or I could drive 45 minutes out to Trader Joe's. So basically, I went to BJ's and bought a fuckload of organic garlic to make this one dish. And then I had a lot left over, and then we were leaving. There was no way it was going to be still good by the time we got back, but I didn't want to throw it in the garbage. So we decided
fucking garlic.
So we decided we were going to take it with us and just give it to people along the way or try and use it. Unless, that was my wife's idea. She's like, maybe we can use it. Maybe we'll go to, she's like, you don't know, we could go to someone's house. Maybe we're going to be cooking. And I'm like, I doubt that's happening, but sure, let's bring it.
This is a great idea, by the way, to be able
to... Did you have, like, a cooler with ice and just the garlic in there, or...
No, it's garlic. It's dried. We just threw it in a bag.
Yeah. Why is it in the freezer?
What's that?
Why does Bill have it in his freezer?
Because it's sentimentality. That's what he was asking you about.
Oh, so it's like saving the wedding cake from...
Yeah, yeah. He kept my garlic.
You know, a slice of your wedding cake.
Because he loves me. He won't admit it.
No, I admit it, Alan. You know I love you.
Thank you. I love you, too.
I love Alan Green. Alan's one of my first loves. I mean, you talk about a completely committed man. In the face of all evils, he still is Alan Green. I mean, from Freeman to Urban to Birdman to Hellspawn. I mean, there's a million things I shouldn't say and I don't say. Alan Green for president. I'm there, bro.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Fuck it. Alan Green for president. Fuck it.
that's our slogan.
We're doing it live.
We're doing it live.
Hey, maybe I'll just... Is there a maximum time limit for this thing that William did?
There isn't really a maximum time.
I'm just playing the show into it afterwards. Just to trip out William. Not this William, but French William.
Guillaume was working on a way that we could actually use this system as a way to record our shows. He put a lot of work into this. Hey, here's a question. Has anybody listened to Wally's show, Fine Just Fine?
No. Is it we got a new show then?
Bill?
What are we talking about?
Is that ours?
It's ours.
The cool one?
The cool
one? It's a new show.
Have you listened to it?
The cool new one. The cool new one.
Everybody's talking about the new kid in town.
New kid in town. Johnny come lately.
It is cool, though. Have you listened to it? I guess you've listened to it, or you just know.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's really, really well done.
Is that all you gotta say? Is there anything here? I don't even see it. Where is it? It's not. Is it under podcast?
It's under podcasts. Quick podcasts.
I'm at fucking podcasts. I don't see. I see Wally Schrard. What is Sexcentricity? But I don't see.
You're looking at the home page. Okay, if you look at the very front page where you're seeing Wally Schrard. What is Xenochrony? Look above that. Do you see since it's Fine Just Fine? Podcasts, it says.
Yeah, I'm looking at podcasts. I don't see Fine Just Fine.
Do you see something that says Stardust?
Oh, I see it. Okay.
Oh, he nailed it.
I was expecting to see his name on it. That's why. So, yeah, I see that. So that's a new show, huh? I'll check that out.
He's got three episodes out so far. He did like a two-part pilot episode and then the first episode. Really, really impressive. Incredibly impressive. Particularly audio production wise. And anyway, the point is, Wally and I had this conversation and he had suggested this idea, what if we could get audio from like the audience? Basically, you know, wouldn't it be great if someone can then weave their own audio? He wanted to like ask a question or something and then people could weave a minute or two. And you know, Guillaume, he's like a minute or two. We're going to make it so.
You know, right. Like, awesome, dude.
Right. He was like doing all these different things to keep improving this system that was just built as a sort of like, well, this could be fun. An idea I had for it actually was like, you know, we could do for Always Record, like maybe if people left us messages, you know, someone's going to leave a minute, someone else is going to leave 20 minutes, whatever, but maybe we compile a bunch of those and make that an episode, you know, like, okay, here's, you know, it'll just take me some doing to sew them all together, but, you know, here's 2 minutes of Bill Klaus is going to, you know, leave me a voicemail at 4 a.m. going, rah, 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 42, 75, 86, Kubrick, you know, whatever. And, you know, some crank on the internet is going to leave me some other voice. But whatever, we take all those and just sort of piece them together. And maybe, you know, if we have collect 2 hours of audio, make that an episode or something. That was just one thought I had. And it's just fun, I think, to be able to give people a way that I feel like we've talked so fucking much.
What do you mean, just tonight? We're at 3 hours right now.
Okay, Always Record, Always Record has, in its history, probably, I've figured out, you know how like we do tracks, like, you know, this might be a three-part episode? Well, each of those parts is about an hour, right?
Right.
So we hit 300 hours, I mean 300 tracks. 2 episodes ago. Mm-hmm. So that means we're probably... who's playing music?
Who the fuck is doing that?
Bill?
Bill.
Not me. Yeah, but it's Bill.
It's Bill. He's trying to be creative.
He's providing a soundtrack for us. I'm just going to talk over it.
All right.
And he's gone.
And he's gone. That's it. He's done. Great. That's his out. Fucker.
Well, I guess I just wanted to say we've talked this show. There's probably, I mean, I think it's a conservative estimate to say about 300 hours of Always Record.
Oh, that's extremely conservative. I think it would have been more.
I'm saying I think it's actually more. Point is, it would be nice to give other people a chance to leave, you know, like, you know, to if they can record some audio, that we can do some production with, you know, we could just, you know, release some of it and give other people a chance to have a little, say.
A little something in there for daddy.
Right. But, I don't know, there's lots of different ideas of how that could be used.
Wait a minute, what does Bill say here? Oh, no, that's early. Now that we've...
I think he probably went to go leave some recording.
Probably right. He's up to something, that guy.
He really is. Hey, Violator.
Yeah.
I need, at some point in the near future, probably in the next week or two, I want to actually reach out to you, so I don't know, we mentioned Synchronized like twice during this thing, but I don't know if you've seen that I've been releasing the footage from the Radio 8 Ball show.
Yeah, sure. While I quickly check out Facebook.
It's okay. No, fuck Facebook. Don't get
Is it on the website?
That.
Is it on SyncBook or?
It is. It's on both. Yeah. If you want to go to the website, just look at Synchronized. And anything that's marked season 2 has been the questions from... So, like, the first episode was Andy Schmushkin's question. The second one was that guy Jim. And then the third question is a woman named Donna. The fourth question is Brielle. I just released that video today. And I'm pretty sure you're the fifth question. You know, basically what I'm trying to figure out what to do with how much... Or how little I want to address the Manson T-shirt and things like that.
You need to. If you're gonna do this, I'm sorry to just jump in.
Please.
Reaction. I don't. I feel like it's absolutely essential that if you're gonna acknowledge it, you have to qualify it for people because there's such a charge and weirdness around the whole fucking thing.
I know.
And like it's hard to communicate that you're not endorsing somebody while at the same time pointing out the irony of basically somebody being charged with a crime that the CIA is doing everything they can to do the same thing, but with a much larger budget. And so there's just a really weird fucking aspect there that's like, because his thing reflects the hypocrisy. And yet the reason why nothing ever comes of it is because if people hear that being pointed out, they automatically jump to, oh, but he's a terrible person. And you're like, no shit. He's a terrible person. And yet the thing that he did and accomplished is the very thing that the CIA put insane amounts of money and energy into and tortured people and did all this crazy fucking shit. And yet none of them are being held accountable. Yet he's fucking Satan. And so I don't know. Maybe he can't even say that. I don't even know. Fuck it. It's one of these issues that's pretty, I don't even know if that's helpful, actually. It's just weird.
I think it's good to get that off your chest. I don't know. I don't know how to compress.
Present that in this context.
I mean, that's been the challenge.
Wasn't there a show, like, after the Sync Summit where we talked about all that, or?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
that link up with it, or
we've talked quite a bit about it, but we still haven't really. I don't feel, as much as I've talked about it, that I've even been able to qualify the matter, because it's so much. He's got charged with witchcraft, basically. That's literally what happened, and it's like, wait a minute, but the witchcraft that he's being charged with, they all have the ambition to fucking do that. So, and they're trying to do that. So what? It's just, the whole thing is just, it's like, if you want to divert the attention, instead of the attention going to MK Ultra, it's going to this guy who did this thing and Hollywood people were killed. And it speaks volumes for how our priorities are not about all of our children getting killed for wars that don't matter and all of this crazy shit for us. And yet, like, to kill a Hollywood movie star is the most terrible thing you could ever possibly do. Which is terrible. It's terrible. And it's this at the same time thing that's hard for people.
Right. Yeah.
You're like, yeah, that's true. It's like they can't consider this, keep that in perspective, and then consider this other, like,
they don't see the irony. Always distracted by celebrity gossip.
I was dating a girl, a short lived thing. I have this girl who was, she was a pretty blonde girl. And one day I was complaining about how, you know, if a pretty blonde girl goes to Cancun and gets, you know, kidnapped or runs away with somebody or whatever the fuck happens to her, it's like a nonstop news cycle. But, you know, if a brown person gets raped or shot by the police, it doesn't really make the news. And she was like, well, I'm blonde. What are you saying? That my life doesn't matter? And I'm like, No, that's not what I'm saying.
No,
like,
that's not what you're saying at all. Right, that's not the fucking point, yeah.
Right, it's like, I'm just saying, something happens to you, you're probably going to have more media sympathy. You know, you have, like, but I just don't want anything to happen to you. I'm just saying. It's like, never fucking mind.
Right, yeah, it's really difficult.
It's like a scary movie when they're spoofing Scream and she runs the computer and dials 911 and she types in white woman in trouble and boom, the police are outside.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the thing too, is that it was America's sweet children, that they could not be capable of this on their own. And that's the thing that people have a huge charge on, that it was like our children. And they saw, like, that, you know, but the irony too is that MK Ultra was experimenting on all these literal children, like children, the people who went before in the hearing, in the testimony, they said that they saw over 300 kids when they were kids going through the same thing that they were. And this is real shit. And then you're like, oh, but then these girls happen to be, like, the one who committed most of this stuff. She was with Anton LaVey, the Church of Satan, and yet we're like putting it all on this. It's like, no, this is like a whole deal. And he's not, the guy is not the fucking counterculture. He's not the fucking Grateful Dead counterculture thing. He got, the media made everything they could to equate him with that, but he's not that. He's his own trip. He missed the fucking everything because he was in institutions the whole time. He's from Kentucky. It's like, what the fuck does this have to do with the counterculture? It painted an image that was a convenient image of the commune, and that was the benefit.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And that's the PR element, you know.
You know, and I think there's, I guess for me, so just to be clear for a minute, is of sort of what I was, I mean, this is actually always record here is the better place for this conversation. What I'm trying to figure out is that, so like in St. Quick News, the hardest sort of, the biggest challenge was always basically how to boil it down. Right, if you only have 3 to 5 minutes, how do you boil it down to like, how much can you convey in a very short amount of time? So what I would usually do is like write a script, then I would try and make images that could replace some of that text, and could I get rid of a sentence or two by representing it visually, you know? Is there anything that's redundant or, you know, word economy, blah, 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 chop it down, chop it down. With this synchronize that I'm doing, I'm trying to kind... So here, when I was talking about I complained before about people's attention spans, right? I did the first episode. It was a 30-minute episode. I made the second episode a 20 or 22-minute episode. And the third episode, I think, was like, I don't know, 12 minutes or something. So I kept trying to get it shorter, right? And when I made the 12-minute one, Will Morgan was like, and I'm not, you know, he was just like, oh, that's great. He's like, because then I see 11 minutes, I have time for that. I can watch that. He's like, you know, 20 minutes. Then I have to like sit down and like, I have to like make a plan to sit down and watch it. And I'm not trying to, I get it. I totally get it. Like it's the mindset that you bring to things, but it's like, so basically if you make, you know, David, you were saying before somebody spray paints a garbage can, you're like, oh wow. Or someone could put tons.
Well,
of
Well, I was actually referencing like specifically Basquiat, which is unrelated.
Sure. I know it's unrelated.
Warhol wasn't CIA as far as I know. I mean, that seems, you know, were pretty outlandish to me, but I don't know.
Point is simply that, you know, I find myself, it's actually a really bad, you know, like when, you know, Bill was saying, Mark Leclerc's heart wasn't in the article or something, is I actually find, and I'm be, people can judge whatever way they want, but I'm gonna be blunt here, it's like, I find myself really struggling with putting the time, like, I don't know how to not put in the time to do something, like, to the standards that I want. And at the same time, like, constantly telling myself, like, the more and more I realize that people actually don't pay attention, watch something halfway, watch something while they're doing something else.
I know. I mean, all my blog posts were like, it took an hour to read, and all the comments were, this is great, I'm going to finish it later.
Yeah, right.
Right, and maybe, and maybe they did, and you can't ever know, and you don't know what's going to be coming of whatever you're putting out there, and that's what, you just got to do what you're doing and not worry about that. I mean, for real. Because all you can do is just do your best. If you're going to do it at all, you just fucking do your best.
Yeah, I mean, I did it, the blog, which I haven't written on in over a year, was just for me, really, to get stuff out of my head.
Yeah, and it works it's so convenient when you know that there's something to do with this one thing, and you want to look it up, and you know you have a resource.
Yeah,
then.
I know, exactly.
It's awesome, I use my blog all the time for that. In fact, it's all I use it for now, is when I'm like, oh, what was that thing? And then I go back to it, you know.
But, you know, there is something to be said for... Okay, so Andra said something to me, which I totally get. And like I said, and then when Will, I had the conversation with Will Morgan where he basically said kind of the same thing or confirmed the same thing is, you know, Andra said if you can cut something out or you can make it more compressed, or, you know, basically just make the video shorter, your people will appreciate giving them that time back. You know, not that it's not worth their time, but...
Well, yeah, Jake Kotsis says the same thing. He's like, if I go to make a video, you know, him and Jim Sanders, they just want to give the big chunks. Like, there's all this other stuff that's really interesting, but let's just give them one big one after another, and that's what turns people on. Because they don't always get turned on otherwise to the thing, you know? They don't keep going, because it's... But it's unfortunate, too, because fucking Bill said himself with the thing that he didn't read it. And then he goes on to say that Markle Clare's heart wasn't in it.
Yeah. Well, that's, and I'm this like, is what I'm saying. This is exactly what I'm saying.
I read the whole
thing. It's like
thing
voting for 10 years a slave without watching
that's
it.
That's the same exactly. fucking thing, dude. And that's okay. You know, whatever. It's so just, I can't help but observe that.
Right. So last night, like, I'm sitting there and I worked, like I said, I worked over 100 hours this week at work. And then I'm trying to stay up last night and knock out this video. And I spent like a few hours just tweaking this one little fucking thing that I was like trying to like get right. And then at some point I was like, what the fuck am I doing? No one's going to notice. No one's going to fucking care. You know, it was like, it was a little bit of like, I, you know, whatever. I want to have, I personally have very high standards. You know, it's like, and then ultimately it was just like, right. Why am I doing this? Like, right, so you say, people are going to half watch it. And not that I, you know, wouldn't leave mistakes in or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, I'm kind of, like I said, I don't need it to be a perfectionist. And then it was almost like, well, if I'm not going to be a perfectionist... It's that sort of, you know, it just comes back to that question of, like, is your heart not in it? Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's just sort of struggling.
Yeah, your heart's in it. That's the thing. And Markle Clare's heart's in it, and Bill's heart's in it, and our hearts are in it, whatever. You know, but I can say that I had to call out fucking Freeman when he was doing the thing with Joseph Atwill, who's, you know, Red Eye's, you know, altar boy or whatever, and like I don't know, sorry, that probably
no happened. I really don't know what you're talking, like I didn't,
so, and like no, it's
Freeman
just,
interviewed Atwill,
yeah, Freeman interviewed Atwill, and they're
I can already
and Atwill was saying some shit in there that I was just like, come on, not only just for me, give me a break. It was just so like his, because he ascribes to that idea that all the musicians of the 60s and all this stuff to break apart the family, and it's all this device and whatever, and I relate to it. I'm like, so many things are happening all at once, you can't consolidate this and say this is what this is. And like, for me, it's like, I've been to fucking Burning Man. I'll tell you right now, there's a million things you can say about Burning Man, and you can take a million positions, but it's all these different things all at once, and it has positive aspects and negative aspects. What do you know? Like, it's just such a conglomeration that I'm like, what happened in the fucking 60s is another example of that. You can't just tell me what the fuck it was and leave it at that. The 60s. Come on.
Right. Right. Give me an entire decade
of, like, but the movement itself. And then it's just, oh no, this is just a CIA, like, as if the CIA had ultimate control over the movement. Give me a fucking break. They had ideas about the way that what they thought acid would do and what different things would do, and so they pushed those. But then all within the CIA itself, there's all these different ideas about what people are looking for and what everything means. It's just, there's so many different people. It's not like this tightly knit, organized fucking thing. It's got a chaos element. There's a million variables. Anyways, my point is, I'm listening to this conversation, which just seems like it's totally jumping that gun entirely, you know? And then I'm just listening to Freeman just in agreement, and a lot of the things he said. But at one point he goes, you do realize that I was a deadhead. And then that was it. That was the only mention. I'm like, dude, fucking Freeman has done like, he knows that that his experiences have benefited him and opened him and all this stuff. And to just let Joseph Atwill stand there and say, talk about the soul destroying of LSD to everybody, like, you just summed up what acid is, and it's soul destroying. Dude, you're not experienced, bro. You know, I'm sorry. It's just like, acid is a lot of things all at once. Like, what do you, what, this is what, it just, he sound like a fucking imbecile. I'm sorry, but he did, Joseph Atwill. In that regard, like
precisely,
you just don't know your shit. But then he's talking to somebody who's interviewing him who does, and I was like, what the fuck?
Do you know?
And then you're just gonna sit there and not say anything?
Of course,
anything?
He's gonna sit there. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, if you look, did you see Jan Ervin positions himself as you know, a sort of, right, this uber rationalist, right? It's all the trivium, right? Everything,
which isn't pronounced that way, right? Isn't it pronounced something else? But he pronounces it that way. Trivium is not trivium; it's something else.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
Trivium.
I forget the actual pronunciation, but that's not it. That's sure. The way that it's gotten popularized. So, anyways, go on. That's beside the point.
Anywho, right? But he positions himself as this ultra rationalist. But like, so I'm still friends with him on Facebook, and it. Occasionally, I, like, find myself looking kind of like at the car wreck, mm-hmm. I have to admit. And he's constantly posting stuff about, like, Satanists and, you know, occult rituals. And it's like, I don't know, I would think you wouldn't. If he was, like... If you say something about a rabbi and he's like, oh, you're fooled into this... blah, 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 thought of, like, whatever, right? And he's like, I had a New Age girlfriend once, and, like, you know, like, whatever the
right,
fuck
right,
else
right,
he
right.
was saying, right?
Cool.
But, like, my thing is, why would you be afraid of a Satanist? Like, wouldn't you be like, ah, sucker, you're going to sit there and jerk off in a fire circle and nothing's
right,
going to happen?
Right, doesn't affect anything other
doesn't
than you.
Doesn't affect anything, right.
That's your logic, yeah.
Exactly, right.
But he acknowledges the thing in the implications of what he's interested in. And at the same time, he's like, fuck that, it's bullshit.
Exactly. So make up your mind. But he
looks with contradictions, which must be really challenging for him.
Right.
Because I got my own contradictions that I struggle with, and I'm doing my best to
deal with them. We all fucking do. But my point is simply, you know, again, these are contradictions that work to an advantage, because you can spoon-feed the paranoia a little bit more if you, you know, you stoke the... As you, again, you say, like, the idea of, like, you can... If you want to compress LSD down to being soul-crushing, you want to compress the 60s down to being anti-family, you know, like, all these sorts of things, you know, and then, you know, worrying about satanic Illuminati, et cetera, I mean, really, what position are you taking? You know, it sounds like a classic, you know, John Birch sort of right-wing Christian conspiracy narrative, and not to say that I don't have some sympathy for some of their narratives. I'm just saying, or you know, their positions and stuff like that.
The positions that are the problem, because what they're pointing out is awesome.
Yeah,
the things that they're pointing out are of great value, but they're not leaving it open to interpretation. They've already decided what everything means, and they're gonna fucking tell you, and that's that.
I did the research. I studied the 60s. It's about CIA mind control. The end.
Yeah, that's an element. No shit.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Some of the best research on occult topics and Illuminati type stuff is done by fundamentalist Christian people who think it's all
It's true.
Demonic evil stuff, but their research is top notch.
Yeah,
that was Jason Barrera was. I mean, this is nothing new. Jason Barrera was utilizing as a source, and I'm going to admit my total ignorance here. But there was a while Jason was saying the best research he could get, like on Gnosticism and a lot of occult stuff, was these medieval writers who were basically like documenting the heresies, mm-hmm. you know, of. These horrible people believe blah, blah, blah. And he's like, that was actually like the best resource because they're literally documenting everything that these people say and do, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I know. I it's so funny that you'd say that. Like, I was just watching some crazy shit on CERN and it became too much to bear. And it just so happened that right around the same time, my other housemate, he's English, but that's the point. He was just looking at some fundamentalist people. He's watching some conspiracy videos showing reptiles, and Miley Cyrus is a reptile, and all this different kinds of stuff, you know. And but he was saying, like, he was just so entertained by the religious fanatics. But I was like tripped out on this thing I watched on CERN, where it's this super fucking propaganda stuff, or not propaganda, but you know what I mean, fundamentalism. And yet there was like tidbits in there that were of huge value that I got to add to my things to look into further, you know. And it was like, and it's just these crazy pastors and shit, but they're sincere. They really believe what they think, you know. They're nuts, but they're sincere. And so that, yeah, it's, and you just can't, you know, there's resources that you don't realize that they're real resources until you see what they are, you know.
Mm-hmm. I like that they really believe what they think. That was what you said about Mark LeClaire.
Yeah, no, that was what Mark LeClaire said about Mark LeClaire. Because I said it about myself. I was like, I don't believe everything I think, and he was like, I do. And I was like, you believe everything you think? And he was like, yep. And I was like, wow, okay. But I mean, he said that in the moment, you know. A lot of
sure. No, I know.
I mean, Jon Irving said things in the moment. I'm sure in retrospect,
I just like the phrasing. I think it's a very descriptive phrasing.
I believe everything I think.
How am I not myself?
Right? K-N-O-T. But I don't
know. My problem is I doubt everything I think.
I doubt everything you think, too.
I know.
No, it's always this thing I get to explain to people that I'm like, I'm a total fucking skeptic. Maybe not a total skeptic, but I can be naive in many ways. But I'm a very skeptical person. So, like, if I'm telling someone some crazy shit about 9/11 and the Zohar or whatever, I'm like, I am a skeptic. You know, they think that if you're into high weirdness, that you can't be skeptical, that the two can't go together.
Right.
And there's plenty of proof that that's not the way it works. Like, you can look at, I keep referencing Peter Lavinda because I've been really impressed by him lately. He basically is writing things on the subject matter that I'm most interested in, and delivering it in such a way that's extremely intelligent and empirical and well-referenced. But the thing is like, you know, he's a total fucking skeptic. And like, it's that, like, there's this, I don't know, it's like you got to be gullible to be like a 9/11 truther or something. And it's like, you got to be fucking gullible to think that those towers just fell like that over, you know.
Right.
It's like, that's,
after an hour of burning.
Yeah, that's not very skeptical, okay? That's like, you know, but that's the irony of it. That's the whole thing, and become so much more sensitive to it, where I'm just like, you're telling me a conspiracy theory, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You're telling me that these few terrorists were able to hijack this plane, do a maneuver that every pilot that has flown those planes says is impossible with those planes. And then it's like, basically, you got the pilot who flew every plane, not just the same model, but every...
military pilot?
Yeah, the military pilot. He's got all these hours, he's retired, but he flew every plane that was used on that day. Not the same model, those planes, and he says that that's all impossible. That you literally can't even maintain control at a craft descending at that rate, at, you know, that low and that speed. That the planes literally were not designed to do that, and they would actually fall apart or just completely, you know, that he's like, it's impossible. And then I'm like, well, what the fuck then? Like, it's it's just so funny because you can go to like Vigil's back and forth on his Facebook with the 9/11 shit with all these people and this argument. And I'm looking at him like, yeah, but the actual experts, not the colleges or popular mechanics, are saying it's impossible. 2,200 architects are saying it's impossible, and yet they're.
You know what's sad about all of that?
What
is that? We're the age where we that was our information. We, you know, came of age, so to speak. I mean, I was 18 in 2000, I guess, 19 in 2001. You know, like, that was our life for years, and we know all that information back to forth, but people 10 years younger are like, yeah, right, I mean, I don't think there's a conspiracy.
Right.
And with the government, it's all totally lost now. 10 years later, All that progress, all that information, gone. It doesn't. No one's affected by it anymore.
So that's the unbearable lightness of being, right? I mean, that's the reason why the unbearable lightness of being is called the unbearable lightness of being, is because it's a statement on the way that history will get lost within generations if there's certain, you know, basically you can lose a whole history. And that on one level, that's light, and on another level, that's heavy, I guess, you know. It's more to it than that, because it's a whole philosophical concept, and he's bringing in Nietzsche in the first page. But you see what I'm saying? Like, it's like as if this never fucking happened.
Yeah.
It's like, that's crazy.
Well, societies change just because the people who are in control die and new people take over. That's the only way things change.
Right.
Unfortunately, like, this specific, you know, change was lost, was advance or whatever.
Right. Of course, I wasn't around for Kennedy's assassination either, and yet I still, you know, know more about it than most people who were there. So,
there probably will be a group of younger kids who will take up an interest
in the future,
but I think what you're saying is it's true, and it's fucking scary. And the other part of that is like, okay, so there was a time where it seemed like there was this really big momentum. Like, okay, now there's, you know, like I said, maybe there's we have this one expert. Now we have this whatever. Now we have 20,000 architects and engineers signing a petition. Now we're this. Now we're this. And now we're fucking 14 years out and no one gives a fuck.
Yeah.
Well, not
back to square one.
But yeah.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, there's no. It's almost. How do I say this? You know, the statute of limitations in a lot of ways is sort of. Not literally statute of limitations running out, but in a practicality standpoint of with every year that passes, it's more of a. What are you going to do about it? Attitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
that's
so
the
much
scary
apathy.
Shit. Yeah,
there's
exactly.
So much fucking apathy. People are like, that was so long ago. Who cares?
Yeah.
You're still in fucking power, motherfucker. Yeah. What do you mean? No one's held accountable. It's like, oh, O.J. Simpson. Oh, yeah, well, I don't know. He killed Anna Nicole so long ago. Whether or not he killed her, what does it matter now? And then he goes on and kills somebody else. And you're like, oh, well, that's why it matters, idiot. You know what I mean? I just pulled out a random thing, but I'm like, this affects you now. It is affecting you now. If no one's ever held accountable, nothing, they just continue to do what they're doing, and they do it worse every time. So what the fuck? You know, they're like, oh, we can get away with this. Let's see what else we can get away with, you know? Yeah. It's ridiculous. But yeah, I was looking at the holes in the middle of the buildings from above. That Dr. Judy Wood points out. That's fucking true, dude. Those buildings disintegrated.
I've seen the like animated GIF of a beam like dissolving or something, but that's the only Judy Wood thing I ever can remember.
Okay, well, her website is actually very like. I mean, I don't know about everything, but she makes some very interesting points about the use of invisible weapons. And so that basically we're so advanced with our weapon technology that we're only giving little hints of what we actually are capable of.
Right.
Now, it was that Iraq was the experimental place for using some of these alternative weapons. But now there's been so many witnesses in Palestine going off about in the territories what has been used there. They've used that as an experimental ground, and much of the weapons, they're not even seeing them. They're just seeing their effects. And
I've seen cars melted in Palestine that were melted just like the ones 10 blocks from the World Trade Center.
Right. I was looking at witnesses in Iraq. Actually, I couldn't even watch this thing on the internet. I had to download it, which made me nervous. But it's like people being interviewed in an Iraqi hospital who are describing what they saw. And basically, yeah, cars melted from, you know, something that can't even, there's nothing there. It just happened. And then people just losing limbs and stuff and dying. And they're just basically disintegrating things.
Yeah.
It's not out of the question. It's not that outrageous. The weapons technology is fucking so far beyond what we're told. And when Rumsfeld was asked about that with, like, the head military, whatever, I can't remember what his name is, you know, in a press conference, you should, like, the expression on his face was like, you could see his nervousness because they said specifically what the types of weapons, and they were like, and he's like, oh, you know, these are in experimental stages, you know, that
I
seriously doubt that these have been, you know, it's just like, dude, what is this guy choking the fuck up? Donald Rumsfeld is like about to have a heart attack right now. It's because of a fucking question about these types of weapons.
I had some statistic before, I don't know how accurate it is, but for every 1 year of civilian technology, military technology advances 44 years. So from like the late 40s, basically, they've advanced 2,000 years mm-hmm. ahead of civilian technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not out of the question. It's not that insane. You can see examples of it showing up in all kinds of places that are totally documented where they're so far ahead what they're supposed to be. It's outrageous, you know? And so, why not? They're stoked to use their toys. What do you think fucking Hiroshima was about? That was about, look what we can do, motherfucker. Yeah. You know, they get off on it. It's like a whole thing, you know? So whatever. We know.
Well, I have it if you're not going to use it, right?
Right. We're basically right now, the three of us are just, we're all in agreement. So there's a preaching to the choir element, but
yeah. You know,
whatever. We're all, but it's not all start sucking.
But I never get to talk about this stuff.
Right. Well, that's the thing too. So yeah, no, I know. I've been stoked actually. Baruch has been really, you know, helpful for me to, cause I'll just go off for days about all these kind of things and, you know, and some, I'm stoked that he can hang, you know, because I mean, you know, I'm spending so much time with him for over 10 years now. So it's just like, I'm glad he can put up with me in my insanity. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, going there again. And it's the difference between Kabbalah and a cabal, you know,
right.
And like traditional Kabbalah isn't a cabal in the same sense, because it's subversive, but it's anti-nationalism in many respects, but that's the exact opposite of what's happened with Kabbalah. Kabbalah is all about nationalism at this point, not the true Kabbalah, but what we see is about maintaining an empire, keeping it in place, keeping the power structure,
right,
doing what it's doing. And that's what, you know, because they're all about, You know, Madonna Kabbalah is one thing, you know.
Yeah.
Like, but even the secret, not so secret societies, they're all about maintaining the power structure. That's the whole deal. They're all about the Klipo. That's what they're into, you know. And so, what do you expect? You know, there's very little in tension in that regard. You know, it's just kind of like, this is what we're doing. You know.
Once you get to that level, then you want to, you know, you push everyone out of the way. Then you protect yourself from being pushed out of the way. Like, companies will get big and then pass laws that prevent everything they did to get big.
Mm-hmm.
So that no one else can do it.
Right. GE did that, right? That was basically what happened with the cable cars. They bought out the cable cars just so they could destroy it so that no one could get to be, you know, have another...
The elections, like when Jesse Ventura won and the CIA said, how did you do it? And they had this like team of lawyers fill out the forms to get your name on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And no one can do it. But because they told citizens to pass this law about voter fraud. Oh, yeah, voter fraud. Yeah, well, I don't want our election fraud or whatever. They passed these laws that if you mess up on those forms, you get fined like $30,000 or something. So no normal person could ever finance a campaign because they couldn't afford to make a mistake on a form that team of lawyers couldn't fill out correctly.
Right.
And they got tricked into passing those laws, which now protect all the people who are in power. You know,
and you're saying that was how Jesse Ventura got elected in the first place as governor?
No, I mean, like, it was a miracle that he got elected. The CIA was
designed to keep you
from getting elected. Like, how did you manage to get elected?
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I dig it. Huh.
Yeah.
I've been trying to show people the fucking Jesse Ventura video that Kevin Halcott found of him talking about the Twin Towers.
What goes on in that one? When was that? I don't remember.
It's when he does his whole prophecy about how the two towers are going to fall, and it was like in the 1980s or whatever.
Oh, when it was Jesse the Body?
Yeah, and he's just like a star. He's basically reciting what I was reading in the Zohar, essentially. But
wasn't that Macho Man Randy Savage with the serious
one? That's right.
Yeah. It's the mega powers versus the World Trade Center.
Yeah, that was the names of the wrestling crews.
Uh-huh. And he's like, the Twin Towers are gonna fall.
It's classic, dude. Yeah. And so he was trying to show that to Jesse Ventura. He's been trying to, like, get that to him. And he thinks, he's like, you know, wouldn't you think that if you were Jesse Ventura, you'd be like, wow, that is really fucking weird, considering I have a show called Conspiracy Theory. Here I am, you know, foreshadowing events of the biggest conspiracy theory of the country. In the country. Not that it's the biggest conspiracy theory, but... I mean, that's the thing. It's like, that's the thing about that event is its symbolism.
Right.
People die around, I mean, for the U.S., it's a huge disaster and lots of people died. And how many, you know, people always like to say, oh, how many people died in Iraq as a result of that, or whatever, you know, but people, there's huge events all the time, all around the world, where more people that were in than were in the World Trade Center die.
Yeah, I mean, in Africa, you know.
Time, dude. Like, yeah. It's terrible. It's just, oh my God, it happened in this country. Jesus, shit on the carpet, once again.
Yeah. That, by the way, my new favorite phrase.
Jesus, shit on the carpet?
Yeah.
It just, I opened up my mouth and out of came.
I didn't want to interrupt the show earlier by saying that, but yeah.
I just like the idea of that, of like, Jesus, what are you doing? I don't know, I thought, dude, just go outside. You know.
The wedding of Cana after turning water into wine. Jesus, shit on the carpet.
It was shag, too. What did you do?
You can't get that out. You
can't get that out. That was Jesus shit. Yeah,
do you think it's David, are you think yes. it's at all funny that we're here right now because these were the times that Kevin Halcott and John McGuire said they were available?
Right, and that we never heard back from them. Yeah.
Two of us showed up and they're not here.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Because we could have done this at a different time, but
totally. Yeah, well, for me, it's like I've just been since events happened in my life at my work, you know, I felt like I've had PTSD or whatever, you know, like I'm not. I'm a little reclusive anyway, but I'm really reclusive lately, and I basically. Got multiple females upset with me, which is fine. It's what it is. But just like I just haven't been available. I haven't been emotionally available. I haven't been. I basically experienced total burnout after that because I go to work and it's just so fucking heavy at work. Basically, I'm working at a funeral parlor, and I love my job, but it's just so intense to go there, you know, over and over and over again. And just the vibe of it after my friend died. And so, and then my other job, it has heavy elements too. You know, Baruch is awesome. I really appreciate it. But it's a lot, you know, it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot in the old duder's head, you know. And so, yeah,
the dude abides.
Yeah, but I mean, I've been going fucking deep into some crazy shit. And a lot of it I haven't even really talked about here as much. But yeah, I've been looking at some key things and, yeah, I don't know. I'm just. It seems like the sinks that I'm finding. It's not like. It's not that there's more. It's that the ones that are sticking out or the ones that are showing up are even more pronounced than they used to be or feel like should conceivably even be able to be. Are you guys noticing that? Like, at least that's been my observation recently. Like, that's too big. Like the thing with the fucking 666 days thing, that was pointed out with Kubrick. I'm like, give me a fucking break. That is absolutely nuts. That in both directions.
Yeah.
That's just absolutely insane. And then I'm looking at today with David Cameron or whatever with the fucking pig. He's a prime minister. Black Mirror had the fucking prime minister fuck the pig. That's crazy.
It's yeah, very over. I mean, just the lightning hitting the Bin Laden.
And then the
tower.
Lightning hitting the fucking mosque. How does that,
Bin Laden Construction Company.
Right, I mean, Bin Laden is a big construction company, and so that makes sense, but still, motherfucker.
No, yeah, Quint, so you have Bin Laden, you have Bin Laden, you have the lightning bolt, which we've connected.
Tower.
But then
Mecca, the Kaaba at Mecca, the Kaaba, the spheroid at
The World Trade Center, the original World Trade Center site is actually designed. The architect said he wanted it to be like Mecca. That's what he was designing it after. So we have the one event at the new Mecca, one event at the old Mecca, both Bin Laden affiliates, the lightning bolt, all that sort of stuff. I mean, I feel like even with Joe Alexander making the whole thing about Robert Zemeckis' walk and 2015, mm-hmm. right? So that you would have a repeat, essentially like a mirror, a black mirror, if you will, event mm-hmm. of 9/11 in 2015 is directly referenced in Joe's work. To me, that is the event. That's what I was trying to say before, but like everyone's talking about, like, you know, these weird dates in September 2015. I mean, I feel like whatever just happened last week, you know, obviously it affects the lives of the people injured and killed, but it's still, not to be cold, but still relatively small, you know, numbers. It's not like a mega tragedy or anything, but it still seems way significant. It seems like incredibly fucking significant. And I don't know, that's this one really sort of hit me in a way of, like, again, these things of just being so explicit, so almost exact, like, where, you know, some synchronicities we have to kind of like explain, as, you know, you have to do this little kind of little hop, skip, and a jump to kind of explain all the context or whatever. As you said, like, some of this stuff, it's like, oh, come on, a fucking little kid could get that. Prime Minister, pig, dick, that's it.
Right.
You know, like, right. That's right. Yeah, what are we going to do about it, though? I don't know. It seems like there is an increasing frequency with synchronicity that is just blowing my fucking mind. And so I don't know.
I mean, yeah, it's so obvious that, you know, people who have no experience with synchronicity can, you know, point it out.
Yeah. It's true. All right, you guys. I think this has probably been good. You guys.
All right. Hey, Dave.
Yes,
you're
sir.
In Santa Cruz?
Yes, sir.
All right, you're like 5 hours away from me, so when I have some money, like for gas and stuff, I'm gonna come up and visit you.
Oh, that's awesome! Yeah, you can stay here too. We got room at our place for you.
All right.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, that would be awesome, and you'd love the place I'm living in now. It's ridiculous. I'm living in a farmhouse built in 1968.
Wow.
It's fucking cool. Yeah. So. Good idea.
Meeting
like
minds.
That.
Yeah, I've wanted to hang out with you since the last Sync Summit, but just, you know, so far I haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, no, that was really fun. I mean, we picked you up and we drove you, and then we drove you to the airport afterwards too. So we got a lot of time in there. But I feel the same way. There's some little projects I got going on. I want to work on. Help me with.
Is it just me, by the way, or it seems like you've been sort of fairly quiet. I see your, sort of more dance culture and stuff like that. Or how are things in your world?
I mean, I don't know. Like, this year was, like, my year of, like, it was, like, either, you know, have a life or die trying, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, really, when I got to that point of, like, you know, no friends, nothing going on for, you know, 15 years or whatever since high school, it's like, at this, you know, it's either commit suicide or try to have a life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now I have reasons to live, basically. So that was my goal. So...
good.
I'm still here.
it's always good to have reasons to live, you know, generally speaking.
Yeah, we need you here. We want you here, so.
Yeah, I get. Well, I mean, just like things just happened, you know. I was like kind of like yes man in a way, you know, to just like say yes to life kind of thing, like to just go with it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just saw a story guy does yes man thing for like 3 days, ends up dying. That was basically like my goal was to like, you know, it was just like, oh, do you want to like my, I had a coworker I worked at Toys R Us. He's like, he always showed me these raves he was going to. He's like, I'm totally going to bring you. I was like, all right. And we're like, he's like, I'm not kidding. I was like, okay, neither am I. Take me. And then like eventually I went to this thing and in the desert, like this desert, like low-key desert rave, and met all these great people. Now I have like all these, you know, people I can talk to and stuff. So just like spiraled out from there. So it's actually, you know, things are, I have a, you know, a social life almost sort of, kind of. Hmm. Not so much.
Maybe you usurped my life, and that's what's happening here.
Yeah.
I don't leave the house anymore.
Yeah. I went from, I mean, all my good work was in, like, 2009-ish, when I literally, I think my parents moved to Colorado. I was in the house by myself. I was waking up at 9 p.m. Like, I was super, super autistic. I wouldn't leave the house if I saw anyone outside. Like, I would stand by the people and wait until zero people were outside so I can run and get the mail or whatever. Like, totally inclusive. But I also did my best work in that time.
Right.
And now I haven't done any work. But I, you know, I talk to people every now and then. So that was, like, the trade-off, I guess. I don't know.
Cool. Yeah.
That's what Wilner said something similar to me. He was like, you know, he's like, yeah. He's like, I'm happy just having a life and... You know, I get it. I totally get it. You know, I miss you guys did do awesome work and I miss that, but I'm really happy for you. You know, I want you to enjoy. Ultimately, I think if there's any answers come from all this stuff we look at, you know, sometimes it's just fun to look at or interesting or thought provoking. But like, if there's ever any seeking, the best answer I can come to is that you would integrate it, that you would live a life that you want to live, right? So if you're doing that, I think you're succeeding more than any intellectual pursuit.
Yeah. So. I mean, I like, I always knew everything, like everything you could say about, you know, Eastern philosophy, whatever, all the slogans, all the things about manifesting reality, whatever, you know, like intellectually, like I knew all of that and, you know, still didn't act on any of it kind of thing. I could write a book on it. I just couldn't. It wouldn't be an autobiography. You know? But hopefully I'll do some more. Frank wants me to, you know, do some more Zero Night stuff, like our blog. We got a new, like, website. We're getting a lot of hits right now. So...
Things are cyclical too, you know, and like,
totally.
You can't just have, you know, yeah, you got to be able to expand your field and yeah, that's,
yeah. I mean, I couldn't, yeah, it's hard to, I don't know. It's like hard to have no experiences and then write about things or I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's true. That's really how it works. You have to bring it back. Yeah.
It's also hard to have a lot of experiences and no time to write about them. So it's, that's why I think right. It's the cycles. It's sort of like.
So now David's got all the time, you know, or he's like staying home or whatever, then going out. I'm on the opposite end of that.
Yeah.
Spiral.
We switched places.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's funny. We both showed up reading Jung.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that surprising because we're going.
No, right. The kids are in the crowd.
But yeah, so what? Yeah, okay. So I was reading the Red Book, and you're reading the UFO thing, right?
Yeah. You had A Man and His Symbols or something.
Oh, I did. I had that one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I was reading The Point. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That was a trip, man. The whole thing was a trip, and so I actually got into a huge argument with a woman who I was seeing a while ago about your shirt. And it was like a big old scene. And I was like, why is this fucking scene? Like, it was just crazy. And like, I was seeing this woman for a few months. She lived with me for a few months, actually, this last year. And I was explaining about the Sync Summit to another group of people. So there's people sitting around and I happened to be seeing her. And I was like, yeah, this friend, he had a shirt. And I was trying to explain the significance of, of Radio 8 Ball and what had happened with you wearing that shirt and then the woman who came before you and everything. And I was saying, yeah, it said Charlie Don't Surf, and it had a picture of Charlie Manson, and it was a reference to the Beach Boys because he wrote music for the Beach Boys, but he didn't surf, but neither did today, so whatever. And then it's a reference to Apocalypse Now with Robert Duvall, which comes with this extra irony or whatever. Anyways, and she had this really strong reaction. She said that that's promoting serial killers. And I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, well, you know, it's a satire that's ironic on many different levels and all this stuff. And she was like, no, that's supporting. She got really reactive and she's like, that's supporting serial killers. And I was like, and I said the wrong thing, which was, you do realize that Manson didn't kill anybody. And then she just, you know, it was like shit just went haywire. And it was like, you know, she went into this whole moral place and I was like, shit, you know, and it was just so funny because it was over this shirt and I was like, you don't even like Charlie Don't Surf. Like, yeah. Oh my God, dude. Oh my God. On so many levels at the same time, you know, because it's war and they're killing all these people. And it's like, and Apocalypse Now like glorified it in a sense. And it's just like, they're killing. They just wiped out all these fucking people. And then he's like, you know, this is what,
yeah.
The death of one is a tragedy and the death of millions is a statistic.
Exactly.
Oh, fucking hell. And because they're like, you know, on the other side of the world or whatever, it's like, what, you know.
Yeah. Well, it didn't happen here. So.
Everything. It's just, yeah. And so it's interesting what it ends up doing when you start contemplating in that way, because you can see the, like, the mass play and the way that values operate and the way that it's all just so fucking illusory, because there's the realities of what is happening and the depths of what is happening, and then there's something on top of it that's just not the true reality of what's actually taking place. And that's, you know, it's really an intense thing to try to convey, is like the multi-tiers of it, because you want to make one point and not negate the other.
Yeah.
But it's as if there's this polarization of mind that there's this
intense
resistance to that. And is that character armor? Like, is that, what is that? Like, where does that come from? Like, fuck. Okay.
Yeah. You can't be for one thing without being against the other. You can't. Like, say both things are
right. You can't make a you can't relay that. And it's like that kind of thinking is like not regular thinking, apparently. Like, that's not what people do, even though that's, to me, that seems sane, to be able to acknowledge something and to consider something else. Is that outrageous of a phenomenon? And sometimes it is. For people, and I have a lot of resistance to even I have a hard time accepting that.
There's like quotes, you know, I love quotes, but it's like the mark of an educated man to like consider an idea without accepting it, basically. You know, you have to, you know, if you can talk about Charles Manson without promoting Charles Manson or whatever.
Right. And it's this whole thing of like serial killers and then everything that comes up with that and all the associations and all the everything. And I'm like, you know, it's just assumed, like the lone nut thing is like, there's this archetype there.
Yeah.
And everyone, and it's outside of the kingdom. And it's like, that's, you know, in all cases, it's always this fucking lone nut, usually, you know. And then the idea of like, it's like, that's where it comes from. Like, it doesn't come from within the organization. If something terrible happens to somebody in a position of power, whether that be politics or Hollywood or music or whatever, it's like, oh, that could never come from within the kingdom. That has to be the insane fool from the wilderness to come in to do that. And that's acceptable. And that we can compute. We're like, okay. But if it was so insidious to come from inside, it's like, oh no. Which is I hate to fucking say it, but it's totally true. That's what happened where I work at the tannery. Because everyone, and like, that was the police force too. That was their inclination, was to tell everybody who lived in the complex to go fucking put up signs and look everywhere. And they didn't even fucking bother to truly check out the premise itself. And then it came out that it was that, you know, she was found there. And they were like, oh, my God, it came from within. And, you know, right. And it was very offensive to even point out the incompetence of the police force.
Yeah, every time a kid goes missing or dies, you know, they have search parties scouring the neighborhood. It's like, that's obviously the parents. Like,
or, yeah, I mean, not always, obviously, but it's a possibility you might want to consider.
Yeah, right.
It's like, no, this was from within the complex. And like, but that was my first thought. Apparently, that wasn't most people's first thought because they were immediately blaming the homeless or they were blaming, you know, whatever. And then after it happened, they were like, oh, well, he's a illegal alien. And I'm like, you know, no, it's a bigger issue. I realize that the issue down there is a much more complex one. And this doesn't mean that the people are to blame who did this, but when the tannery that I work at, the arts, you know, art lofts, it's a artist community, you know, when they first opened it, they said that, you know, they were, going to make this space for artists. It was an artist space. We're calling it artist lofts. They're not regular rooms. Okay. They're not structured the same way. They're fucking huge. They're made for making art in. And when the people came in who provided the money to build this structure and to do this whole thing, which was an agreement, my friends, when they allowed for them to come in, they expressed the stipulations. So they were like, these are what we want. This is what we're looking for. They were like, we want to be able to be in a community with people who understand when they sign up to live there that they might have to hear power tools in the middle of the night. That they might, that mm-hmm. basically that this is a space for people doing real work, that they require a space like this. And they agreed to that. But then when they actually built the place, then they changed the people, the organization changed all of that. And basically, because they realized that they couldn't get the subsidies, which they probably knew in the first place, they just didn't tell us, that they couldn't get the subsidies for low-income housing if they had these specifications. And so for me, I look at it, I'm like, okay, well, they did that, and that was fucked, and that was heartbreaking to all of us. But at the same time, we continued to work with them, and we let them in. But then I'm like, you say, oh, you can't discriminate. You can still ask somebody why they have a need for an industrial space. This is an industrial area. This is not a residential area. I myself live – the house in which I live, the farmhouse in which I live, was the house that took care of the cows for the tannery, which is a couple blocks from me. And this was the first thing that was here in Santa Cruz, in this area of Santa Cruz. And the tannery actually blew up. In the early 1900s, I guess, all of these people died in an explosion, and it was totally tragic, and it rocked the whole area, and most people don't know about it now, but this is something that took place, and so people have related to the tannery in a really eerie way since then. Like, there's like a haunted element there that people, some older people, acknowledge. And so I was always aware of that, and I thought it was weird or whatever, but and now they're taking that space that the explosion happened in. They're making it into a place where they do plays. So they're going to be doing Shakespeare in there and stuff. So it's got this whole Greek tragedy element, which is really weird. But they're transforming the old structure built in the 1800s into this space. They're adding to it. So basically I felt like looking at that space since I've been working there, and I haven't told anybody about this until just recently, and then I just fucking came out with it, because I was like, you know what, fuck this, dude, we were fucked, we were screwed over, they told us what the fucking space was going to be, and then they have this, the space is hypocritical, because you have these industrial artist lofts, and then you have all these rules, so there's this repression, and I looked at the situation, I was like, Maddie was the freest thing here, and everyone can see that, she was the freest element of this place, and the kid who killed her did it because of repression. And I was like, what does that fucking tell you? He's a 15-year-old kid living with his mother who is not an artist. There's no reason for her to be there. She was homeless before she ended up there, the mother of the boy who killed my friend. And it's like, you know, what is she doing there? What big project is Reggie working on that she needs an artist loft like that? None. She just wanted low-income housing, and they're treating it like low-income housing. I'm like, well, you know, so they set up this kind of scenario of contradiction where you have this thing with this aspiration to be artist lofts. And if there's no artists in them, it just becomes a spooky looking space. They're kind of eerie. You know, it's kind of an eerie place that I work at in that way. But it wouldn't be if it was actually doing what they said that it was for.
Right.
So there's this, yeah, there's this intense contradiction. Thanks for letting me go off on that. I know it's probably late for you guys. It's just that it's something that's been fucking on my mind, and it's good to drop that.
I hadn't heard about any of it.
Oh, you didn't know about my friend? Yeah.
No.
I have a friend who was killed, and she was 8, and yeah, she was raped and strangled and stabbed, and then she died in a dumpster. I'm very close with her mother, and I was friends with her, and she impacted me greatly before this ever happened, and so it just trips me the fuck out. So I
was the son of the homeless woman, or
the son of a woman who was homeless, and then she moved in there, and then she was
shouldn't have been there at all in the first.
She shouldn't have been there in the first place, and but it's not like they did the murder. It's not like the people who did that, but there was this contradiction that people didn't want to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, oh no, they're in here, they're doing the thing or whatever, and I'm like, no, they fucking promised us this whole scene. It was like a burner's paradise or whatever, and then when it came down to it, they were too greedy and they were too lazy, and because of their greed and because of their unwillingness to do what would be required to do that, they just decided to make it like every other low-income place, but structured completely differently. And so it's just really frustrating. You know?
That sucked.
Anyways. All right, you guys.
Well,
on that,
it's been nice chatting with you.
Yeah.
Sorry to end it on a
heavy. No, no, no. I'm glad that you're able to. I think it's really important that you're able to talk about it and vent about it. If it wasn't that I know you were trying to run, I would keep this conversation just going for as long as you want or need.
I'm trying to make sense of things, but at the same time, there's elements that you just can't make sense of, and so it's kind of futile in certain ways. You know, I mean, I can. It's a senseless crime in a sense.
It sort of reminded me, I don't know, maybe it has nothing to do with it, but it was like like there was the plan that was perfect, but the execution was imperfect. And I was thinking about just like people's lives, like, I don't know, the way I see people maybe is differently than the way other people see people, but it's like if someone's born and they have a, you know, some sort of debilitating thing, like if there was a plan, let's say, like if you plan out your life before,
mm-hmm.
people, or they have these potentials, but then you're born and suddenly, you know, you have a speech impediment or something,
mm-hmm.
or you're fucking autistic. Like what? Well, you know, maybe there's a perfection in heaven or whatever, you know, the consciousness world or whatever you want to call it. But then when things get put into the material world, there's so many factors, environmental factors, stuff in the water, you know, whatever, that kind of mess up the plan. Mm-hmm. And that it's always trying to fulfill this perfect vision, but it could never quite get there because its tools, us, you know, are always imperfect. Like we never live up to the perfect, you know, idea that was supposed to be manifest. Like
right, right, right. That's it, dude. Number nine. Where's 10?
Yeah. So I don't know. That's just something I was thinking about recently, and that kind of reminded me of it.
Yeah, there's a recursion that happens in material existence that it never reaches perfection because it can't. Because if it reached perfection, it would be static. And so we're always in this realm trying to get to this perfection, and the perfection is there. It's inherent in the thing. It's there. Yet we can't ever witness it through any of the senses and through any of the faculties, because for the faculties to exist in the first place has to be distorted.
Yeah.
That's a mind fuck for you. But yeah. It's, no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away. Wonder this time where she's gone.
wonder if she's gonna stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home anytime she goes away. And I know, hey, I'll leave the young thing alone, but ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home anytime she goes away. Anytime she goes away. Anytime she goes away.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast from SyncBook Radio. If you enjoyed this episode, there's so much more content waiting for you at thesyncbook.com. Tune into our other SyncBook Radio programs, including 42 Minutes, Always Record, The Marty Leeds Mathemagical Radio Hour, Pentimental, Synchronize, Sync Quick News, as well as our most recent editions, Fine Just Fine and Hypnosis. Our newest episodes are always free, and members get access to our full archive of over 600 hours. You'll find all of this, as well as our books and videos, at thesyncbook.com.